Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. Our listener support / appreciation campaign continues. You can support the show on a one-time basis by mailing a donation to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. And I want to go ahead and thank Kenneth for sending us a donation that way. You can also become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. And I want to thank Alan for becoming our latest Patreon supporter at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Alan. And whether you can donate or not, I definitely would appreciate you filling out our advertising survey at adsurvey.greatdetectives.net that just asks a few basic questions to help us be able to get the best sponsor possible for the podcast. Check that out over at adsurvey.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for this week's Johnny Dollar cereal. And this serial is the only one that actually will be played over 2 weeks. We'll play 5 episodes this week, 4 episodes next week. So if you're minded to listen to the first half all at once, you'll want to wait till Friday. If you want to listen to all of the episodes all together, then you'll want to wait till the Friday after that. And just hit pause now. Otherwise, we're going to go ahead and get into episodes 1 and 2 of the Phantom Chase Matter from October 15th and October 16th of 1956.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
Pat McCracken, Universal Adjustment Bureau, Johnny.
Well, long time, Pat. What's on your mind?
At the moment, $120,000.
Hey, you're really thinking big these days.
No, correction. Worrying big.
Well, I guess if I had 120,000 clams, I'd worry, too.
Look, if we had it, I wouldn't be worrying.
So who does have it?
Thomas Chase.
Come again?
A partner in a New York investment syndicate, Everson & Chase. Real dignified outfit up till now.
Chase embezzled the money?
We think so.
So what do you want with me? I'm no expert in forcing confessions.
Johnny, you can't make a guy confess if you can't find him.
Oh?
Chase has jumped his bail. He's disappeared.
I'll be right over.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Home Office Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Phantom Chase matter. Expense account item 1, a dollar even, taxi from my apartment to the offices of Universal Adjustment where Pat McCracken was waiting for me, with a worried look and a handful of papers.
Well, how can you figure it, Johnny? An outfit like Everson and Chase goes along for years without a blemish on the record, and then Bluey, one of them, turns sour.
Well, that's what makes horse races, I guess.
Yeah, that's also what gives bonding companies headaches.
Yeah. What's the background, Pat?
No, it's all in here. Everson and Chase, investment brokers. Real high-class clientele.
Partnership?
Oh, yeah. George Everson, senior partner. 42 years old. Pillar of society.
Married?
No, widower. Wife died 3-4 years ago.
This Thomas Chase is the junior partner, then?
Yeah. He's 38. He's a big fellow, clean cut. All-conference football player in college. You know that sort of thing. Everything in his favor. Looks, personality, intelligence, ability. Why, Johnny, huh? Why a guy like that?
Oh, you're asking the wrong fella. I've seen enough embezzlers, though, to know they come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah. What turns a man like that sour, anyway?
Well, you know the stock reasons as well as I do, Pat. Gambling debts, a woman. Incidentally, is Chase married?
Now, that's another thing I don't get.
What do you mean?
I know one of the stock reasons for embezzling is another woman. If that was Chase's motive, he's nuttier than a fruitcake. Why anyone who had a wife like Lola Chase would even look at another woman is beyond me.
Like that, huh?
Like that. Impresses me as a real, real fine woman. And has got the looks to go with it. Well, you'll be talking to her. You'll see for yourself.
Always a pleasure, Pat. Now, about the money that's missing, $120,000, you said.
Yeah, more or less. Currency, checks, negotiable securities.
Well, look, a deal like that didn't just take place overnight. It must have been going on for a long time.
No doubt of it.
How did Chase manage it?
Well, Everson can fill you in on that better than I could.
The senior partner?
Yeah. Now, he's still not willing to go along with us that Chase is guilty. I think he's pretty concerned about the company name, which is understandable enough.
Well, maybe he's got something.
Yeah. Well, you better save yourself some time, Johnny.
Meaning?
Meaning you just answer me one question.
All right, what is it?
Would an innocent man jump bail?
Expense item 2, $16.20, transportation and incidentals to New York to the office of Everson and Chase. George Everson was just as Pat McCracken had described him. Early 40s, a little gray at the temples, a healthy tan. The real solid citizen type. Handsome and, right now, unhappy.
I still can't believe it, Mr. Dollar. Tom Chase, of all people. Mm-hmm. Boy, he was like a younger brother. I nursed him through the best graduate business school in the East. I took him in with me.
Yeah, how long ago did he become a partner in the firm, Mr. Everson?
4 or 5 years. Yeah, 5 years next month it would be. And Lola. Poor Lola.
His wife?
Wife. If I ever saw an ideal marriage, that was it. As far as I could see, she's all that a man could want.
Maybe not for Tom Chase.
Yeah, maybe not. But I certainly don't understand it.
Tell me, how was Chase able to get away with this deal?
The embezzlement?
Oh.
Well, to begin with, Mr. Dollar, our firm has always maintained a very fluid relationship with its clients. Frequently, we're buying or selling for them, or both, very rapidly. In a situation like that, the client places a great deal of confidence and trust in us. And we've always had the utmost of both from them. At least we did have.
I see.
Well, anyway, in a situation like ours, it's possible for a clever man to juggle figures.
And that's what Tom Chase did.
Huh? Yes, I'm afraid so. You see, more and more lately, he'd taken over the personal management of some of our best accounts.
Oh, sort of taking them under the wing, huh?
I encouraged him to. But if I'd realized I was only putting temptation in Tom's way, I'd... Well...
How did you find out what he'd been up to, Mr. Everson?
Well, Tom had formed a kind of pattern in his accounts. He specialized in handling those clients of ours who were primarily interested in growth investments.
Growth?
Long range. You know, buy and hold it for quite a while.
Oh, yeah, I see.
But one of those clients suddenly decided to liquidate his holdings on short notice.
The account turned up short, then?
Quite short. So, of course, I immediately ordered a full-scale audit. The results of that brought the district attorney's office into it. The rest, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I must say that on paper, he'd done a very convincing job. You see, now, here are the files on all his accounts. Pardon me. He'd recorded each transaction carefully and correctly and had written up memos on all of them.
Mm-hmm. These memos, they in his handwriting?
Yes, they are.
May I take one of them with me?
Yeah, certainly. Here you are.
Thanks. Mr. Emerson, as I understand it, Tom Chase wouldn't talk after his arrest.
No. And that was the most frustrating part of it. If he'd have given us some kind of explanation, anything. But he refused to make a statement of any kind.
I see.
I arranged for his bail, of course, and tried to do what I could, but...
But he jumped bail and disappeared.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
This was 4 days ago, I understand.
Yes.
All right, one more thing, Mr. Everson. Had he acted at all differently lately?
Well, I hadn't noticed anything, but apparently his wife, Lola, had.
Oh?
Yeah, I had dinner with them a week or so before this thing happened. Lola got me off to one side for a moment and asked me if I'd noticed any change in Tom lately.
Change?
Yeah, she said that he'd seemed rather moody and preoccupied. Well, that made me realize that he had seemed a trifle tense around the office. But apparently, he'd told her he'd been working extra hard. Yeah, I suppose that should have been a danger sign to me, but... I was afraid I'd... So I just passed it off. I kidded her out of it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the information, Mr. Everson.
It's little enough, I'm afraid. where do you start looking at a case like this?
Well, that's a good question. First, I think I'm going to have a talk with Mrs. Chase, find out all I can about her husband's habits, likes, and dislikes, so on. Sometimes you pick up a lead that way.
Well, you'll probably run him down sooner or later. I understand you have quite a reputation at that sort of thing. I wonder if you'd do me a favor, Mr. Dollar.
Sure.
As I say, you'll probably find him, and as for the money, well, I guess whatever part of it we recover, we should be grateful for.
Well, that's about the size of it, I guess.
But frankly, I'd rather not see Tom Chase again, unless it can't be avoided.
Yeah, I understand.
But there is one question I guess I'll always wonder about. Maybe you can find the answer for me.
What is it?
Why did he do it? Why?
Expense account item 3, $12.50, cocktails and dinner for Lola Chase and myself. I figured she might relax a little more that way, and believe me, taking Lola Chase to dinner was no chore. She was everything Pat McCracken and George Everson had said she was. Tom Chase must have had some pretty powerful reasons to walk out on her. Well, Lola and I made general conversation throughout dinner. She was poised, but pretty subdued. After we finished eating, I steered the conversation around to her husband.
I don't know that there's anything I can tell you that I haven't already told the district attorney's office, Mr. Dollar. But whatever information I can furnish...
Well, what I mainly want to know is... Well, what sort of person was your husband?
Tom?
Yeah.
I guess I'm the wrong one to be answering that, Mr. Dollar.
Hmm?
I thought I knew Tom better than anyone in the world. But as it turned out, I didn't know him at all. Funny how you can live with someone for years and...
Yeah.
So when you ask me what sort of person he was, I guess I have to say I really don't know.
Well, how about his hobbies, likes and dislikes, you know, that sort of thing?
Well, he liked to play golf.
Uh-huh.
He did some sailing. And he had quite a collection of records and an elaborate hi-fi set.
Oh, what kind of records?
Jazz, mostly. He used to play them by the hour. I must say, he turned them up a little too loudly for me. But then I understand that women's ears weren't built for hi-fi or something like that.
Yeah, tell me, Mrs. Chase, did you notice much change in his behavior recently?
Yes, I did. And it upset me.
What sort of change?
Well, for one thing, he became rather moody. I guess you'd call it. He seemed to have something on his mind all the time. Several times he stayed out late at night and said he was working.
I see.
And then there was the thing about our vacation.
What was that?
Well, we'd planned a little trip. But at the last moment he told me he couldn't go. He insisted I make the trip without him. I didn't want to. But he insisted. So I finally went. Alone. It was when I got back that I found out he'd been arrested.
Where did you go on this trip?
Martha's Vineyard.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks very much for the information, Mrs. Chase.
Thank you, Mr. Dollar. You've been very kind. When and if you find Tom, well...
Yes?
Well, I guess I'm just foolish enough to think he still might be innocent.
I took Mrs. Chase to her apartment and then went back to my hotel. The big question was, where to start? What did I really know about Tom Chase? I had a picture of him and a specimen of his handwriting. I knew his hobbies. But what did it all add up to? Oh, Mr. Everson.
Yeah, I'm sorry to barge in on you at this hour, Mr. Dollar.
No, not at all. Come in, come in.
Thanks. Mr. Dollar, you probably think I'm crazy, and I know it's a very slim chance, but it is a chance.
What are you talking about?
Take a look at this newspaper. Right here.
Huh? A feature article on jazz in New Orleans.
This picture taken in a bar down there.
The old guy with the trumpet?
No, in the background. The people sitting at the bar. Look at this man right here.
Oh.
His face is half turned away, and it looks like he hasn't shaved for a while. Mr. Dollar, that's Tom Chase.
You sure? You can't see much of his face.
I know. But when you've been around a man for several years, you notice little things about him, little mannerisms.
Like what?
Well, look at the way he's got his head sort of cocked to one side. Now, that's just the way Tom always did when he was listening to something. And look at his hand resting on the bar like one finger was pointing at something.
Wow.
Now, that's the way Tom held his hand. And look, he's got one leg sort of drawn up. That is exactly the way Tom used to sit at a bar.
Oh, but Mr. Everson, any number of men, and that picture isn't too clear.
I know. Maybe it's just a crazy, wild idea. But Mr. Dollar, I'll bet on it that that man is Tom Chase.
Crazy, wild idea? Maybe, maybe not. But it took less than a second to mentally flip a coin, and it came up New Orleans. Johnny Dollar.
George Everson, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, yes, Mr. Everson.
I've been thinking. I could have been wrong last night.
You mean about the newspaper picture of the bar in New Orleans?
Yes, that man in the background of the picture, the way he sits, the way he holds his hands and his head, it's so like Tom Chase.
Yeah, that's what you told me last night.
Yes, but this morning, well, you know, things always look different in the morning. After all, we can't see very much of his face in the picture. It might be just a wild goose chase.
Well, I've been on plenty of them, believe me. But I've been thinking, too, Mr. Everson. Tom Chase embezzled $120,000 from your firm. New Orleans would be as good a place for him to hide as any. Besides which, his wife told me he was very fond of jazz, and there's certainly plenty of that down there.
And you really think it might be a possibility?
My plane leaves for New Orleans in an hour. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location New Orleans, Louisiana, to the Home Office, Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Phantom Chase matter. Expense account continued. Item 5350, cab fare to the airport. George Everson was waiting for me at the passenger ramp.
I'll tell you, Mr. Dollar, before I came out here to the airport, I called the insurance company you represent in this investigation.
Oh?
I told them if this trip to New Orleans did turn out to be just a wild goose chase, that I would assume your expenses.
Oh, well, that's very considerate of you, Mr. Everson, but it isn't necessary. Now, an investigation's an investigation. My company's willing and anxious to exhaust all the possibilities. And from what you tell me, it's a good possibility that Tom Chase is hiding in New Orleans.
Well, I hope so.
Say, look, I've still got a minute or two before my plane loads. I want to make sure I've got all the facts straight.
All right.
Tom Chase was your junior partner. He began to specialize in those clients of yours who made long-term investments.
Right.
One of them decided to sell out suddenly, and you discovered there was a lot less in his account than there should have been. You ordered an audit and found that other accounts of Tom's had been juggled, too, to the tune of $120,000.
Roughly.
He was arrested but wouldn't talk. He got out on bail, then jumped his bail and disappeared.
Yes?
All right. His wife Lola says that for some time before that, he was moody and tense. Well, look, I didn't mention this to her, but I will tell you. Do you have any reason to think that Chase was interested in another woman?
No, no reason at all. Good Lord, Mr. Dollar, with a wife like Lola, a man would be out of his mind to even think of anyone else.
Well, I'm just mentioning a possibility, Mr. Everson.
Yeah, I know, and I suppose that always is a possibility in embezzlement cases. But I certainly hope not in this one. The whole thing's been hard enough on Lola as it is.
Yeah, did you tell her about the newspaper picture and that I'm going to New Orleans?
No, I decided not to mention it to her for the present. I didn't want to get her hopes up. Although, heaven knows, she doesn't have much to hope for under the circumstances.
Yeah. Oh, well, my plane's loading. Well, so long, Mr. Everson.
Yes. Best of luck, Mr. Dollar. I'll be waiting for word from you.
Don't count on much. Oh, people have hit the jackpot on the first nickel.
I know.
But oftener than not, they turn up three lemons instead. Expense item 6, $114, transportation and incidentals to New Orleans. I checked in at a hotel and headed for the quarter. It hadn't changed much. Maybe a little more neon here and there. But the same streets, the same latticework, the same noises. Then, as I was walking along the sidewalk, something came hurtling down through the air at me. I jumped to one side. It was a basket at the end of a rope. A man from a little grocery store came out, put some food in the basket, and the lady in the upstairs window hauled it up again. No, the quarter hadn't changed much. It was after dark when I located Ace's Castle, the bar that had been shown in the New York newspaper. There weren't many people inside. A A few couples scattered around, a single or two at the bar, the bartender. And over in one corner, a small band making slow, sad music. I went over to the bar.
Evening, sir.
Hi. Scotch and soda, please.
Okay.
A little slow tonight, huh?
It's early. It'll pick up. Yeah.
Thanks. This is the bar that was in the New York newspaper picture, isn't it?
Yes, sir. This is the place.
That must have been good for business, huh?
Tourists. This isn't a tourist spot.
What kind of a spot is it?
People from around the street here come in, have a drink or two, nurse their own private troubles or forget them, and listen to Pops.
Pops?
Pops Harker. The old man over there with the trumpet.
Oh. Hey, he plays like he means it.
He does.
Do you mind taking a look at this newspaper picture?
So what about it?
Well, this guy in the background sitting at the bar.
Yeah?
Know him?
Not particularly.
What do you mean, not particularly?
A lot of guys come in here. Should I know all of them?
Right here. Here's a front view of the man I'm looking for. Recognize him?
Afraid not, sir. Afraid I can't help you.
Ever hear the name Tom Chase?
Chase? Not that I remember. This man in the newspaper picture, is his name Tom Chase?
Well, could be. I'm not sure.
Well, if he's around the street somewhere, you'll probably run into him sooner or later.
How do you figure?
People on the street don't leave it much.
Oh, world of its own, huh?
I suppose. Sort of an upside-down world, but a world, I guess. Seems to be what they want.
So you think if my friend Tom Chase is here on the street somewhere, he's liable to stay here?
Most of them do.
Then it looks like you're going to have a steady customer for a while.
We can always use him. Why don't you go talk to Pops, the old boy playing the trumpet there? He's got quite a memory. Maybe he could help you.
Thanks, I will. Pop was way off in Never Never Land. He looked as old as Africa. He wore dark glasses. And the horn he was blowing looked like he'd either found it or made it. Real cool, Pops.
Thank you, Daddy. Me and the boys just warming up.
That was a warm-up?
Well, it ain't what it used to be. We'll still hold up for a while, I guess.
I think it will. Yeah, you talk to that horn real pretty.
It went to horn talk back to Count's Daddy.
Hey, look, maybe you can help me, Pops.
You got troubles?
In a way. I'm looking for somebody.
Oh, lots of people got troubles, Daddy.
No, that's not quite what I mean. It's a fellow named Tom Chase. Ever hear the name around here?
Chase? Yeah, there was a sideman in Chicago once named Tom Chase.
No.
In the 20s it was.
No, sorry, wrong Chase. The one I'm looking for is under 40.
Only Tom Chase I remember was the old one. You been around here much? The one you looking for?
Maybe.
What kind of voice he got?
Well, I don't know. Why?
I remember voices. If I heard his, maybe I'd remember it.
Well, look, I can do better than that, Pops. I got a picture of him right here.
That don't do me no good.
Why not?
I'm blind, Daddy. Basin Street Boys.
I think I knew now why he could blow the kind of music he did. It had to make up for a lot of things. I guess it was the only way he could see. Item 7, $2, drinks for me. I sat there in Ace's Castle for a couple of hours, waiting. Waiting for Tom Chase to show up, or for the guy who looked like him to show up, so I'd know for sure whether this was a wild goose chase. But nothing happened. A few people slowly drifted in and out. Mostly they huddled around Pops Harker, nursing their drinks and listening. It got to be midnight, and I just about decided to give up when a man with a face like a weasel slid into the chair across the table from me.
Your name, Dollar? Johnny Dollar?
That's right. Who are you?
Freddie Quintana.
So?
So you should be glad to see me.
Should I? Any particular reason, Quintana?
Oh, the face. It's around the street that you're looking for somebody, Dollar.
News travels fast.
Yeah, when it's really interesting news like that.
What's so interesting about it?
Whenever I smell dough, it is always interesting.
Well, maybe your nose is too sensitive or too long. There was no mention of money.
Look, I've been around, Dollar.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, a lot of people who float around the street and the corridor don't want to be found.
Oh?
So a guy comes looking for somebody, it usually costs him a little money to find him.
I see.
And you're looking for a guy named Tom Chase.
So?
So, I think I got him pegged.
Where is he?
Oh, not so fast, Dollar. Not so fast. First we talk money, hmm?
You're wrong there, Freddy.
What you mean?
First we make sure you know what you're talking about.
Now, look.
I've bumped into a lot of characters like you. And more than a fair share of them were just trying to ace into a deal for a fast buck without any...
I tell you, I got a guy pegged.
Just describe him.
Yeah. Tall, good deal, probably a good-looking guy when he shaves, curly hair, brown eyes. How am I doing?
Not bad, but I take a lot of convincing.
Look, you looking for this guy, you just want to talk about
him. I just want proof.
Okay, I'll get proof.
Bring him here, that'll be proof enough.
You kidding? It ain't that easy, and you know it. This guy don't want to be found. I know that the minute I spot him. He's going under the name of Tom James.
Tom James?
Yeah, I'd ring a bell.
Maybe. His full name is Thomas James Chase. He could be using the first two names as an alias.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a familiar pattern.
Sure.
Okay, Quintana, suppose you do give me some proof. What do you want?
$500.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
I think you want Chase at all.
I'd have to get an okay from my company.
You could arrange it.
Maybe. And that brings us back to the question of proof again.
I'll be back in an hour, Dollar, with proof.
Daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, what is it, Pops?
That man you was talking to. He's a bad one.
Oh?
I can tell from his voice, Daddy.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You don't want to mess around with a bad one like that.
Unfortunately, he could have something I need.
Is that the reason?
Oh, well, maybe not a good one, but it's part of my job.
Maybe you got yourself the wrong kind of job then, Daddy.
You know, Pops, sometimes I think you're right.
Hi, Dollar.
Hello, Freddy. Right back on time.
Yeah, with the goods, too. Yeah. Take a look.
It's all crumpled up. What is it?
Well, smooth it out. I think it's a letter he started writing and threw it away.
Where'd you get it?
I paid a little visit to his room when he was out. I fished it out of the wastebasket.
Okay. Lola, when you get this, I'll be far away. Don't try to find me. It's better this way. I don't know how to explain, but ends there.
Well, what you think? Is he your boy?
I can tell you in about 10 seconds. I fished the sample of Chase's handwriting out of my pocket and compared it to the half-finished letter. I'm no expert, but I didn't have to be. There was no doubt about it. It was Chase's handwriting. So it looked as though my trip was going to pay off after all. Tom Chase was right here in New Orleans.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the next exciting episode of this story.
There's a little game of chance called Dealer's Choice. Fine. Until the dealer gets dealt out the hard way. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Robert Reif, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. A good setup, and this seems like a payoff for a tip that was basically, he kind of looks like a guy I saw in the newspaper. I will say that the request Johnny made to have the partner review the very basic details of the case the day after he received it may be one of the more awkward examples of working in a recap for the audience that we've heard in the serial era. Well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback, and we have some comments regarding the picture postcard matter. And over on Facebook, David says, there was a point at which Johnny used the phrase skip it that made me think he sounded like Steve Mitchell at some point. So I wasn't surprised to learn that this was based on a Dangerous Assignment script. Well, thanks for the comment, David. And the one thing that I didn't anticipate playing Dangerous Assignment at the same time as we're going through the Johnny Dollar serials is how we would hear all of these clear echoes of Steve Mitchell and Dangerous Assignment. And I don't want to be excessive in calling them out. I think I've said pretty much all that needs to be said, so I don't continue to mention them. Of course, I do want to be clear for your own safety. If you are at all inclined to play drinking games, please don't do it every time someone says the word deal in one of these Robert Reif, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar scripts. A listener on Spotify writes, loved it. And then we have some comments regarding the Meg's Palace matter from YouTube, and a listener writes, if there had been Emmy-like awards for the best actress in radio acting, Virginia Gregg gets it for Meg. Outstanding performance. Well, thanks so much, and I think you're definitely right. And there were so many performers who really were under-recognized during the golden age of radio, and certainly Virginia Gregg was at the top of the list. And given the prevalence of radio in American life, it's surprising there were not really formal awards for it. Mostly when we hear about awards, it's like a magazine poll or just a magazine, you know, deciding to give out an award as opposed to some grand big production. And I don't know whether it was because they had the sense that radio was going to diminish in popularity and significance, and so having something that would be akin to the Oscars wouldn't be a lasting proposition. And generally, the radio magazine awards tended to focus on the lead actors. Now, some of the really fine radio performers did get recognized for their work in television. For example, Annette Nolan received multiple Emmy nominations, and Lorraine Tuttle received an Emmy nomination, as well as 2 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But Virginia Gregg never earned the rewards, but she definitely had a place in the industry. And the nature of performers like her or Howard McNear is they did thousands of radio performances. And part of the nature of being that sort of character actor is that so many of your performances are just functional sort of roles. And certainly they did those type of performances. But writers and directors knew them. They knew what they were capable of. And so they could hand them some stunning scripts and hand them the type of scripts that allowed them to show what they could do. There have been so many scripts in this serial run in which Virginia Gregg has shined. You think about the Broderick matter, and certainly I think the Meg's Palace matters, a tour de force, 2 roles in the Nick Schoen matter, and you just have, you know, so many other performances. I think of the Laughing Matter too. And it's interesting because she just has a scene where she just breaks your heart And then her character's barely heard from the rest of the serial. I think in some ways, modern listener really has a greater opportunity to really hear the full range of Virginia Gregg's talent. And many listeners of the era may have caught various episodes here or there. Harry writes, I'm on YouTube, of course. I'm really enjoying your channel. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. And then there was also a note on the check from Kenneth. Enjoy your show. Thanks. And then we have a couple new reviews in the Apple Podcast Store. The first reviewer writes, Adam has put his heart and soul into this podcast for more than a decade. He presents all kinds of old-time radio detective shows in chronological order with interesting commentary after every show. 5 stars all day long. Thank you, Adam, for all the listening pleasure you brought us. And then we have another review that says, I'm not a fan of Dangerous Assignment and shows of that nature. In my opinion, they just don't fit in a detective show podcast. Other than that, I really enjoyed the podcast, and it's still worth 5 stars. Dragnet and Tales of the Texas Rangers are my favorite. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your review, as well as still giving it 5 stars. Of course, the question of what type of programs should go on a podcast like The Great Detectives has been a matter of controversy. I don't know if controversy is the right word, not quite that strong, but there's been some disagreement. In terms of Dangerous Assignment, that series only has a few more months and then we'll be playing Broadway as my beat. And we won't have anything close to it until we introduce our still, as of yet, unnamed old-time radio adventure podcast. Well, now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And I want to go ahead and thank Lance Dawn, Patreon supporter since January of 2022, currently supporting the podcast at the Seamus level of $4 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Lance Dawn. And that will do it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. And please be sure to rate and review the podcast wherever you download it from. We'll be back next Friday with episodes 3 through 5 of this Yours Truly Johnny Dollar serial. But join us back here tomorrow for Dangerous Assignment, where...
We've met, haven't we?
I'm afraid not. In any event, I don't seem to recall.
Perhaps it's just that I recognize you from some photographs.
Really?
Or at the newsreel, maybe.
Newsreels? No, I've never been quite that important.
But you were Herr Schwandorf.
Schwandorf? You're mistaken.
Heinrich Schwandorf of Leipzig, a member of the inner circle of Hitler's stooges.
I said you were mistaken, my friend. Now, if you'll excuse me, good night.
Sure, but we'll meet again, Herr Schwandorf. Maybe real soon.
Who was that man, Stephen?
The number one reason why we're going to get you out of here fast.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives.